helping us out. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter number 4, if you will. And man, I'd love to do something else. I got another sermon on my mind, but y'all gonna get Bob tonight, all right? And anyhow, I thank you for being here. And I won't be here next week. That doesn't mean that you don't need to be here. Figured I'd just go ahead and say that, all right? So we'll be up there in Bryson City, North Carolina, with all the bad kids. Yes. And we'll be having a good time with them. We'll be up there with the teenagers, but let me encourage you to pray for them. And pray. Also, I found out today, and it's kind of weird how this all went down, but Brother C.T. Townsend will be in our area preaching out at the camp on a Monday and Tuesday night, the last Monday and Tuesday night of June. And the guy that owns the camp, he said, man, why don't y'all bring y'all's church out here? I'm like, I don't think you got the room to handle our church with a group of kids out here. But anyhow, for anybody that's wanting to go, we're going to go out there, and I'll be preaching on, he asked me today to preach the morning services that week, and so I'll be out there preaching the morning services again. And so anyhow, if you will, keep me in your prayers for the next 3 weeks, and Lord's open up some doors for us to preach to young people, and I'm excited about it, looking forward to it. But Brother C.T. Townsend will be out there Monday and Tuesday night, and we're going to go out there for that. Anybody wants to go with us, and anyhow, yeah, I promise you, you'll enjoy that, and we'll have a good time with that, all right? All right, if you're in Acts chapter number 4, say amen. All right. We've been praying. We've been talking about this sharing our faith. And we've been talking about praying for Bob. How many has been praying for Bob? All right. A few been praying for Bob. That's good. All right. So what is Bob? Bob is burden, opportunities, and tonight we're going to deal with boldness. All right. Now, I will say this, and I want to help you out with this, is that you need to start working very diligently and hard at recognizing opportunities. Because if we're not careful, and how many of you in the time that you have been praying for Bob has ended up missing opportunities? I'll go ahead and raise my hand, all right, because it does happen. I mean, before you know it, you're sitting there. It's like somebody's lingering around talking to you, and then they walk off, and then it hits you. That was an opportunity, and I missed out on it, right? And so we need to start praying and asking God to help us to recognize opportunities, because God does give us those opportunities, but we need to recognize them, all right? Once again, we're sharing our faith. So boldness, what is boldness? It's a God-given attribute to help enable a spirit-empowered witness, all right? It's a God-given attribute to help enable a spirit empowered witness. In other words, you have the Spirit living in you if you're saved, and what you and I need to do is get a hold and tap the boldness to share it. I need somebody to help me, all right? Y'all don't have to wake up tonight, all right? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to preach to all them little kids, okay? All right, help me out. A God-given attribute to help enable a spirit-empowered witness. The Bible says this, but ye shall receive power. Verse Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. Don't turn there. But ye shall receive power after what? The Holy Ghost is come upon you. And then the Bible says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So as we look at that verse, when we receive power is when? After the Holy Ghost comes upon us, when we get saved, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I need somebody to help me out right here. One of the greatest things in your life is to know that every time that you wake up in the morning, God is with you. He is in you. The Bible says that that power comes from Him. It's a God-given attribute to help enable a spirit-empowered witness, all right? I did this a little differently than Brother Malcolm did, But I'm going to give you a proposition tonight, as I normally do, or I try to do, maybe not in such terms, but maybe it'll help you. But I want to say this, every one of us, every Christian can have boldness in our witness by adding the following ingredients to our life. All right, we're going to look at four ingredients that's going to help you to show boldness and to have boldness when it comes to witnessing to others, all right? You have the power to do it. Now we want to tap into the boldness to do that, all right? So how do we go about that? Let's read Acts chapter number 4, verses 21 through 31. The Bible says this, "So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done." This is a carryover from chapter number 3. If you know chapter number 3 of the book of Acts, you'll know that there was a man that was laid by a gate called Beautiful. And he sat there begging for alms. And as John and Peter passed by on their way at the time of prayer, they seen this man standing there, or not seen this man laying there, begging for alms. And Peter says to him, he says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee." He says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk." And the man did. This is a carryover. Chapter number 3 goes right into chapter number 4. See, it had messed some people up. It had upset some people that they were preaching Jesus. And so they come to these men and they tell them, look, they put them in prison. They said, hey, they took them into prison and they said, look, you can't be preaching in the name of Jesus. You can't be speaking in the name of Jesus no longer. You can't do any of this. And so the Bible says after they had further threatened them, they couldn't do anything with them because to do anything further meant that they would rile up the people that had seen the miracle. And so when they had further threatened them, they let them go. So they let the disciples go, and this is what happens. Let's keep on reading in verse number, where are we at? Verse number 22. "For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." Verse number 24, "And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." I'm going to stop right there just for a few moments, if I can. Here they are. They have been taken prisoner. They have been taken captive because of performing a miracle and because they were preaching in Jesus' name. Now, that's enough to deter anybody. I need some help right here. Y'all help me. We will not witness to somebody because we're scared about what they might think of us. These men were literally put in chains. They were literally taken captive because of what they did. And this is how they responded. They responded in prayer to God. And they come to this verse in verse number 29, and they say, God, hear their threatenings. Look at what they're doing. Lord, listen to what they're saying about us and what they're going to do to us. And then look at what they asked for. They said, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Oh, man, y'all got to help me right here. I got to look at that thing. Here they are. They've been punished for speaking in the name of Jesus. They've been punished for speaking God's word. They've been punished for performing a miracle on a man that's over 40 years old, has never walked. And after all this punishment, they're turned loose, and their prayer is, God, you'll give us boldness to do it again. I think about that. Most of the life, God, please keep me from going back to jail. God, easy. Easy. It ain't testimony time. He said, God, keep me from going back to jail. God, keep me from having to deal with this. Don't let them hear what I had to say. But that ain't what they prayed. They said, God, give us the boldness to continue doing the very thing that's getting us in trouble. Now, that's boldness, right? So in verse number 30, the Bible says this. It says, and by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Verse number 31. And when they had prayed, that's what they've been doing for several verses. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Tonight, we're going to look at ingredients. Ingredients that we can pour into our life to help us to be bold in our witness. I want you to notice number one with me. For you and I to be bold in our witness, we're going to have purity. We're going to have to be pure. The Bible says this, Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Those that know they're right, they'll stand their ground. I was talking to a preacher today, and some preacher called him up and canceled a meeting on him, and because of something that happened 40-something years ago, that somebody in North Carolina called and say, anyhow, y'all see this drama, they dramas with preachers too, all right? And he was telling me this, and he was saying, Brother Robbie, he said, you know, I learned a long time ago that when I'm right, he says, I'll stand toe-to-toe. I'll go at it when I'm right. When I'm right and I know I'm right, I'll stand toe-to-toe. He says, but when I ain't right, he says, I won't fight. Yo, I need somebody to help me. And don't you know that's just like it is in our witness. Man, if you and I ain't right with God, you ain't going to share your faith. I need somebody to help me. Hey, you go to eat somewhere, Jesse, and they don't get your tea in time. And so you say, hey, I'm out of tea over here. Now, when that woman comes over there, bless her little heart, because she's been running around because nobody wants to work nowadays. Right. She comes over there to your table. Now you're going, I would like to tell you about Jesus. I need somebody to help me. Y'all got to help me. She ain't going to hear nothing you got to say. It's like being on the job. You know, I've been cussing everybody out all day long. And then all of a sudden you remember, oh, I'm supposed to pray for Bob. So you pray for Bob there for lunch. And then you said, I'd like to share my story with you. Nobody wants to hear your story. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that if we're going to be bold, we're going to have to be pure. We're going to have to be pure because I can remember, ain't nobody, I worked with a guy. I told you about this guy. He thought he could lose his salvation. And I remember me and him, we went back and through at it or whatever. But all day long, this joker would cuss and carry on and everything else. And I'm like, dude, you got to get saved every hour. But he sat there and wanted to talk to me about Jesus, and I was lost. I said, man, if you can lose your salvation, you lose your salvation. I'm talking about every hour on the hour, every time you open your mouth, you're losing your salvation. I need somebody to help me. When you and I are losing, hey, when you and I are not pure, when we're not right with God, we are not going to be the witness that we should. There is not going to be any boldness there. Please help me. Am I right? There's not going to be boldness there. If I ain't right with God, there is not going to be boldness there. If I'm not right with the individual that I'm talking to, there's not going to be boldness there. And so if I'm going to have boldness, and that's what we're after a burden, and we're praying for a burden, and we're praying for opportunities, and we're praying for boldness. If I'm going to pray for boldness, I'm going to have to be right not only with God, but I'm going to have to be right with men and ladies. Because if I'm not right and I'm not pure in my motives and my, then I'm not going to be bold. And so the first ingredient that we have to have, come on, y'all, help me. I didn't mean for it to get ugly in here so quick, all right? But we got to be right with God. Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, y'all hear me. hear me, this is the greatest thing. When you and I get saved, we can go to God at any time and clean the slate. Hey, are we going to mess up? Come on, y'all, help me now. Absolutely. But you and I have an advocate with the Father, and you and I have an opportunity to go to God at all times, all throughout the day, and keep a clean slate. White clean. Forgiven. 100%. Why is it that we don't take it? You know why most people aren't bold in their witness? I'll stay right here for a little bit. I got time. You know why most of us ain't bold in our witness? Preacher, I want to witness, but I just don't know how. That's not true. That's not true. I can come up to you and I can ask you something about you and you'll tell me all about you. It's not true. I don't know how to do it. That's not true. Because you like to talk about you. Come on. I told them out there at camp today, I said, man, y'all want to talk about me and all? I can talk for, we'd be here for 4 hours. I'll tell you every good thing that I've ever done. I'll leave out every bad thing. But I'll tell you every good thing. I make myself look really good. You want to sit here for about 4 hours. Is everybody all right? We don't have a problem talking about ourselves. So why is it that we have a problem witnessing to somebody? What are we doing? When we witness somebody, what are we doing? We're telling them what? Our story. You don't have a problem telling me your story about how you ended up in Valdosta. You don't have a problem telling me your story about how you ended up on the job you're on. You don't have a problem telling me your story about why you like this football team or you like that football team. You don't have to. It ain't hard. But we lack boldness. You know why we lack boldness? You know why I think most people don't witness? Because they ain't right. They ain't right. They ain't right. And there's something in you. There's something in me that when I ain't right with God, I don't even want to talk about Him. But Matt, I'm reminded of somebody that has told you and told me, hey, I'll spend some time with you. I don't mind going to eat with you, but I don't want to talk. Jesus. Why? Because I ain't right. This wasn't supposed to be a bad night. Y'all supposed to be going, nah, well, man, we're pure. We're good. But I'm looking at everybody and y'all looking like, man, y'all need an invitation like right now. I mean, if we just got honest with it, the reason we're not bold about sharing our testimony, would you agree with me or not? So how are we going to change that? Now that you know the truth, how do we change it? I remember my preacher, I told y'all this illustration, I think. My preacher smoked cigarettes. He got saved and nobody told him that he couldn't smoke cigarettes. And I remember him telling us, he said, man, he remember he was outdoor knocking and telling people about Jesus. And he said, man, I'd just like to tell you about the day that Jesus come into my heart. And he said, well, as soon as he done that, he felt that pack of cigarettes. And he thought, look at me standing here telling this person about Jesus with a pack of cigarettes. I'll never forget that. Now, I ain't had that kind of experience, all right? But I promise you I have had this. I've let my mouth run off. I've cussed. I've carried on and everything else and have somebody on the job site come up to me and say, hey, man, don't you go to church? Look like you've done it too. Y'all better watch your facial expressions, all right? You tell on yourself every time. Hey, how do we do it, preacher? How are we going to have boldness? Be pure, all right? Can we be pure? Sure. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We live in a world today that people say, just be yourself. No. Amen. Don't be yourself. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody as bad as me to help me. Don't be yourself. You don't want me being myself. I'm to be holy. I'm to be holy. And if I'm holy, if I'll be holy, if I'll be pure, then I'll be more bold in my witness. Let me ask you a question tonight. Where are you when it comes to purity? Second ingredient. Y'all ready? Second ingredient is preparation. If I'm going to have boldness, I'm going to have purity. But secondly, I'm going to have preparation. Bible says, once again, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always. Everybody say that? Be ready when? Always. Be ready when? Always. Say it one more time. Be ready when? Always. To give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Not only am I going to have to be pure to be bold, but I'm going to have to be prepared. It's going to take preparation. I'm going to have to know my story. Do you know your story? What's your story? Don't say it out loud. What's your story though? Well, I've just always been saved. No, you sure ain't. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Not always been saved. So do you know your story? Well, I can tell you my story, but it's going to take all day. Who wants to hear a story that takes all day? How many of you have been working on your story? I got your story. It done good, Jesse. It done good. I have to do some things to it. I'm going to have to fix it all up. Man, I'm just messing with you. But you've been working on your story. How you been working on telling your story? It's not just writing your story. It's telling your story. People need to know. Why? Because people can relate to you and they can see. They can see a change in you. And so I need to prepare. How am I going to prepare? I got to know my story. I got to know my life before Christ, how I came to Christ, and my life after Christ. Do you know it? This is when y'all can answer. Just don't do it. You're right. Yeah, y'all know it. So, hey, I remember my life before Christ. I remember how I came to Christ. How did I come to Christ? Through a message. And now my life after Christ. What is it? Better. Y'all say it with me. It's better. Y'all remember my story? Raised in a church, raised around church, under a set of rules. Had to do this, had to do that. Everything about religion to me was a rule, this rule and that rule. I had no peace. I didn't think God loved me. I couldn't follow the rules. I was a rebellious teenager who was lost. I couldn't follow the rules, and yet all I ever heard was rule, rule, rule. Then I heard a message one day. I heard a message about a Savior that came and died for me. A Savior that wants to have a relationship with me. And I learned that it wasn't about a set of rules. It was about a relationship. I couldn't follow all the rules. Still can't follow all the rules. It's about a relationship. And what I've learned about them rules, most of them rules are man's rules anyhow. But it was about a relationship. And that day I wanted that relationship. And so that day I prayed. And that day, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. My life has never been the same. Because now I know God loves me. I know God loves me because every day He spends time with me. Every day He wants to talk to me. Every day He goes wherever I'm going. I can look back in my life and see the goodness of God all over my life. I do not doubt that God loves me. And I ain't got to follow a set of rules. That's the best part of my salvation. I know my story. Do you know your story? Got to be prepared. Not only know your story, but you got to be prepared knowing God's story. Do you know God's story? Hey, we shared it. I shared it with you. Remember, it was an acronym. What was it? Gospel. All right. G. God made us. God mad us to be with him. All right. Who typed us up? God made us to be with him. Oh, our sins separate us from God. S. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. There's nothing you can do. You can't work your way into heaven. Paying the price for sin, though. Jesus died and rose again. E. Everyone who trusts in him alone will have eternal life. And that life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. That's God's story. God wants to have a relationship with you. And he made a way through his son, Jesus Christ. So, we can have boldness. First off, by being pure. Second ingredient, being prepared. Third ingredient, prayer. I know y'all getting tired of hearing about this prayer. But I want you to listen to this. Boldness is a gift from God. It's something that God gives us. We need God to have boldness. And our access to God is through prayer. We need prayer. I want you to notice an abiding prayer. This is what this was good. I like this. Look, I wrote this down. Who you hang out with affects your boldness. Who you hang out with affects your boldness. You get into a situation and you got Sean Gay with you. I need somebody to help me. And you might say some things that you probably don't not say because you know if something pops off, Sean is probably going to whoop somebody right there in front of everybody, all right? Y'all hear me? I mean, the fact is that, hey, when we are around the right people, we're real bold. Matter of fact, we will worship. How about this with boldness? We'll worship when we're around the right people. You won't run around at the house with your hand raised. You won't run out there in the yard. You won't get in a tree stand and raise your hand. Even though you say, I can worship God anywhere, you won't do it. But you get around others that are doing it. So your boldness is affected by who you hang out with. And the way you hang out with God is through his word and prayer. So if you ain't hanging out in his word and in prayer and you ain't hanging out with God, you ain't going to have no boldness. If you ain't walking with him every day, you're not going to have any boldness. I need y'all, please help me. The Bible says in verse number 13, now when they saw the bold, this is Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Who you been hanging around? It's hard to have boldness when you're hanging around with people that ain't Christ-like. But it's easy. I need somebody to help me right here. Man, you get in a group of people that are from the church and everything else, and you'll speak some boldness. You'll have some boldness to you. Man, I got some backup. So it's abiding prayer. Is everybody all right? Not only that, but it's an asking prayer. When we go to God for prayer, in prayer, we need to abide with God. In other words, we need to spend time with God. You spend more time with God, and you're going to get bold in your witness. But it's also an opportunity to ask God to give you boldness. I want you to look at Acts 4:29-31. The Bible says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did they do? They spake the word of God with boldness. What did they ask for? What did they do? Once they prayed, the place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did they do? When was the last time you asked God for boldness? When was the last time you spent a day abiding with God? Hanging out with him all day long. You know why we don't witness? We don't witness, first off, because most of us don't stay too pure very long. Myself included. Not picking on anybody. We don't speak with boldness because we're not prepared to. We're not prepared to. We don't even know our story and how to tell our story. Much less telling God's story. Simple. But we're not prepared. And then we're not prayed up. Lastly, and I'm done, four. The fourth ingredient is practice. I need somebody to help me. Practice. Why is it that we think that we've never witnessed anybody, but we think that when we get to the situation of that person that we really want to see saved, all of a sudden we're going to do it? Well, preacher, I'm praying for so-and-so to be saved. I'm praying that God will give me an opportunity to witness to them. But yet, we don't practice on anybody else. So when the opportunity does come, so how do we do this? How do we practice? I want you to notice a few things. Number one, through memorization. Bible says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Memorization, we got to put it in our mind. What do we got to put in our mind? Our story. What's your story? We've been working on writing our story. How many of you have been practicing? One. It's all right. It's okay. I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying if we're going to do it, if we're going to speak with boldness, if we're going to see people get saved, if we are going to be a witness for God, we are going to have a burden. Do you have a burden? You have a burden? I met a girl the other night at Cracker Barrel. Her name is Emmeline. I got to talk to her. How about the girls? She moved here and she's from Brunswick. Me and Miss Michelle, we were witnessing the girl. I mean, we're talking to the girl. Hey, how you doing? She's from Brunswick. All of a sudden wow, what a small world. That's where I'm from. She said she went to Brunswick High. God help her. Said I went to Glen Academy. We beat y'all all the time. It's always competition with me. But anyhow, we got to memorize. We got to practice. Who are you going to talk? Are you going to talk to anybody? I'm going to move on because I'm going to tell you how to practice. All right. So first off, in practice, if we're going to practice, we have to memorize some things. We have to get into memorization. You need to memorize your story. You need to memorize God's story. God's story. Gospel, right? All right, look here. Presentation. B, presentation. All right? Bible says in Mark chapter number 5, verse 18 and 19, it says this, and when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Man, this scripture really got opened up to me during revival. Do you realize that Jesus didn't tell him to go join the church? Jesus didn't tell him to go get in a Sunday school or a small group or anything like that. What did Jesus tell him to do? Go home. And when he went home, what did he tell him to do? Go home and learn all the doctrines of the Bible. You make sure you know all the doctrines of the Bible now because you're going to have to teach all the doctrines of the Bible to you. No. What did Jesus tell him to do? Somebody help me. Go tell them what I've done for you. Go tell them what I've done for you. Well, preacher, I'm going to have Bible college before I can tell anybody about Jesus. Old demon-possessed man didn't have to have Bible college. He wanted it. He said, man, let me go with you. Tried to get on the boat. Jesus said, he suffered him not. In other words, Jesus said, no. Go home. And tell your friends, tell your family what I've done for you. What great things I've done for you. That's what being a witness is about. We made it complicated, trying to think, oh, I got to have this verse. I got to memorize this verse. I got to know this. I got to know this. I got to know this. I got to be able to teach them the doctrine of regeneration. I've got to be able to. No, you don't. To be a witness, all you got to do is tell them about what he's done for you. Paul never said, you know what? Let me go get my Bible. Oh, King Agrippa, I'm glad I get to talk to you. Can I have a Bible? I don't have one. Paul said, you know what, man? I'm glad I got to talk to you because this is what happened to me. I was on my way to Damascus and I was going to kill some people. I was going to put some people in jail. But on the way to Damascus, while I was on the road to Damascus, I got knocked off of my horse. I sure did. And there was a light that shone around me and Jesus spoke to me out of that light and said, man, what in the world are you doing? I said, Lord. And that day changed my life. No longer was I persecuting Christians, but I was one. Is everybody all right? Last conversation. Now we're going to break down these verses. It's Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse 4 through 9. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Verse number 6, don't go too fast, Miss Michelle. It says this, And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Is that memorization? Yes. All right. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Is that memorization? Yes. Now watch the next verse. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Is that presentation? Is that telling them about what? Right? All right, now look at this. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Conversation. Now for you and I, when we say conversation, most of us, our mind goes to this, us having a talk. But I want you to tonight, if you will, let's look at it from the biblical perspective of conversation. It's a manner of lifestyle. We're to memorize, present, telling the, right? Look, everybody with me? And now watch. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in your house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when you rise up. You know what he's saying? Everywhere you go. In other words, this is being a witness, and this is boldness. We want to do this in such a manner that it becomes a part of everyday living. Every time me and Jesse get together, we talk about how much better I shoot than he does. It's a part of our conversation. We talk. Everybody all right? He can't say nothing. He said something to me. He said, Sunday, he said, Preacher, you lying. And his mama got on to him. He can't even say nothing. Every time I talk to Josh, I have to look at that ugly Florida Gator junk. And it's just a conversation. Both of these boys, neither one of them are saved. He's a Gator fan too. But we have things that you and I are very comfortable in talking about. We talk about them all the time. I pick on these boys all the time. Every time Josh walked in with that ugly shirt on, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And he bought the matching shoes to go with it. Threw his shoes up. He's like, yeah, preacher. Like, dude, if you ain't got money, I'll give you money. I mean, you ain't got to buy trash. You ain't got to buy trash. They probably were on sale. They were probably free Gator junk. But it's just a part of our life. We was up there at the camp, and these kids, they're from Florida, but some of them are Bulldog fans, so they walk through, and I'm like, go Dogs. They're like, go Dogs. Some of y'all's kids, every time they walk in, I'm like, go Dogs. I'm like, ugh. Cash comes walking in the door as soon as he walks in the door. Go Gators. Dude, what's wrong with you, man? One day you'll get saved, Cash, and you'll know God loves a Bulldog, right? Huh? And yeah. But I want it to be a part of our conversation. See, here's the thing. I grew up And I was taught that we had to have a 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, everybody was going to go out on visitation. And what that did was that hindered everybody's time, that put a schedule on when we were supposed to witness. And that's not what we're going for right here. What we're saying is, I want to memorize my story. I want to memorize God's story. And I want to start presenting it to people. I want to start telling people. And I want to tell so many people that it becomes a part of my conversation. In other words, when you and I have a conversation, it's ultimately going to go to Christ. Not to the Gators. Not to how much better of a shot that I am than you. But it's going to go to spiritual things. So when we come across somebody in the store, it's just going to be natural for them to hear our story. Hey, listen to me. You got a story. You've been through things nobody else has been through. And there's somebody out there. Listen, I know this for a fact. There's somebody out there that's going through what you're going through. And they won't hear from nobody else but you. Preacher can't help them because the preacher hadn't been through it, but you've been through it. And God's going to put you in their path. But you're going to have the boldness to tell them your story. If you'll tell them your story, you'll see God do some great work, not only in your life, but in theirs. Tonight, I want boldness. We're praying for Bob, a burden. Do you have a burden for the lost? Hey, is there somebody in your family that's lost? Have you called them out by name? One of your coworkers don't know whether or not they're saved? Have you called them out by name? One of your kids, parents, grandparents, friends. Lord help, we all got some friends that need Jesus. Have you called them out by name? You got a burden for them? Are you looking for opportunities? You're praying for opportunities. Lastly, are you praying for boldness? Doesn't do us any good to have an opportunity if we're not going to act on it. How many times? Come on. I need somebody. Y'all talk to me right here, okay? This is, I do want you to talk to me. Let's just get real honest so everybody knows. All right? How many times have you had an opportunity since you've been saved to witness somebody and you didn't do it because you were scared? Look around you. It happens. How are we going to fix that? Pray for boldness. Memorize it. Present it. Where am I going to present it? Glad you asked. To your kids. Well, my kids are saved. Doesn't matter. You need to practice. They don't need it. You need to practice. Present it to your family members. They're saved. Doesn't matter. Present it to your wife. She's saved. Doesn't matter. She don't need it. You need it. You need to practice. Everybody hear me? Oh, you get real. I mean, if you every day you need to tell Melissa your story. Every day, Miss Michelle, you need to know my story, Miss Michelle. Say, but she already knows your story. Yeah, but it's for me. I've got to practice to where it becomes a part of my conversation. And every time that I come across somebody, I want to say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. You got a second? You got how many seconds? You got 60 seconds, I can tell you my story. Could change their life. And you have a story to tell. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. God, I sure am thankful, Lord, for the day that you saved me. I'm thankful for a praying wife, somebody that loved me, was burdened for me, took opportunities to invite me to church, keep me around the things of God. Had the boldness to say, this is what we need for our family. Lord, I'm thankful for that day you spoke to me. September 28, 1997. Changed my life. Showed me it was about a relationship and not about a set of rules. God, I pray you allow me to share my story. God, I pray you give this church a burden for the lost. Lord, I'm thankful that we get to meet together. And Lord, we have so much fun together. Lord, I'm thankful. I'm looking forward to the things we're going to do the rest of this year. But God, I pray that you give this church a burden for the lost. Give us opportunities to share our faith. God, give us a boldness to do it. Lord, I pray that we keep ourselves pure. We prepare ourselves. God, I pray, Lord, that we put it to practice. We pray and put it to practice. God, we love you tonight. And God, we thank you for an opportunity to come to church. Lord, I pray that you bless us as we go out in fellowship around the water.